woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Minerals. Just got some pictures, man. This is so cool. Just got some pictures of this beautiful 10-point buck taken on Sunday of this week. Still full rack, still looking good. The warm weather has been very good to these deer, the deer herd this winter. And you know, it's probably, you know, a case of good living for that nice big buck, big mature buck, and could be a case of a lucky buck as well. But, you know, whatever the case, if you know you can use it, by all means, I suggest you use it. Lucky-buck.com. See all the rules and regulations right there on their website. And make sure you follow the implemented rules from the DNR in regards to the CWD issue here in the state of Michigan as well. We like our lucky buck, but we also like our listeners to play by the rules as well. Thanks to Darton Archery, makers of the brand new Toxin 100 crossbow, and of course Costa sunglasses, for being on board as well. Very happy to have them all on. And we are going to go back to Ireland. We visited Ireland in 2015. My wife, now wife, Sarah Marie, and I visited our good friends Owen, Ruth, and Grace O'Hagan and the town of Scariff in County Clare on Loch Derg. And it was the most amazing trip, not only as a vacation spot, but as a place to fish for brown trout and pike that I had ever had the opportunity to be a part of. And Owen O'Hagan, our good friend from County Clare, from Scariff County Clare, joins us with new title in hand. How are you, Owen?
Re-elected, Duran. It's great to be talking to you again and talking to the listeners. I was re-elected as the East Clare representative on the steering group of Clare Tourism. Bit of a mouthful, but it just means I do lots of work for free for people who don't really appreciate it, but I'm trying to attract Americans. That's what I do.
It's kind of like radio, but we're just trying to attract listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, Loch Derg is a very big lake, and it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have the resort condos and homes, the summer homes around it. Is what, 33 miles by 11 miles wide, and the only time you really see any type of fishing on it at all is in May.
Yeah, during the Mayfly, that's the busiest time on the lake, and you see 19-foot timber and fiberglass lake boats with a 8 and 9 horsepower engines trotting all over the place, and then they find their favorite drift and then drift along for a couple of hours trying to find some of our fabled brown trout, which are very hungry that time of year, feeding on the mayfly.
Now, this is I had the opportunity to fly fish there a couple of years ago, and it was, you know, I'm not a big fly angler, but to see these long wooden boats with small engines and not a lot of high-powered watercraft and not a lot of, you know, personal watercraft out there, it was just serious fishing going on.
Serious fishing, and as you say, no big amounts of pleasure craft to annoy you and make noise, and it's pure silence. All you hear is the zing of the line as a trout takes it off across the lake. Special place to fish. And I'd love to invite more people from Michigan to come. Don't go to Alaska, don't go to Canada. Come to Clare, because we also have the crack and the Guinness as well.
Absolutely. Now, to explain, the crack to the Irish is the cutting up and the fun, as we call it here. But it is a very unique experience. And look, here are the advantages of going to Ireland. From New York, Boston, it's about a 5-hour flight. Everybody speaks English. The money system is very simple, because you can go to the ATM and withdraw money out without a problem. Everybody that I met is very welcoming and very giving, and it's not like some places where you go fishing where, you know, you will run into those snobs and the people that don't want to share their experiences with you. It was completely the opposite, and again, no language barrier whatsoever.
No, and we don't have ice, and we very rarely get any snow, so any time of year you can fish for pike. And during May, during the summer months, then in May especially, for the trout. But the only thing as well is if someone coming from Michigan or coming from America to Clare or to Ireland, they'll probably find that related to half the people there, because so much blood and so many people have emigrated to America over the years. We're probably all related some way.
Absolutely. I mean, look, America was built on the backs of many Irish here. And when you go over there and you see the foundries in Clare and, you know, where it all got started with the steel industry here in America, it came from there.
Yeah, Carnegie made his fortune off the backs of Irish people and technology that was proven in Ireland, and then traveled across to the Puritans in New England, the Winthrops in Saugus and Boston. And that was the very first successful ironworks in America, responsible for American independence. So you can say that Ireland was responsible. It should have been a part signatory of the Declaration of Independence.
And did I mention the Irish are modest?
No, we are, kind of, yeah.
You are.
We don't sing our praises enough.
No.
But sure, look, the White House is full of Irish people now. All the people in power there now of Irish blood or Irish relatives or second generation, including the Speaker of the House, Republicans.
Absolutely. Exactly. Owen O'Hagan is our guest here. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the trout fishing and the Tommy Giblin Memorial Tournament.
Yeah.
You know, Parra Giblin was so instrumental, you know, like you, in getting us over there, and was such an amazing person to hang out with and fish with.
He's very wise for his young years, isn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Tommy Giblin Memorial Competition is in memory of Parik and Eamon's father. He was an avid fisherman who worked and sacrificed so much in his life so he could go fishing, because he loved Loch Derg so much. And you heard the story on Wild Ireland, our award-winning show 2 years ago, Duran, about the story of his father deciding not to move so he could stay and go fishing and have a simpler life. And sometimes that simpler life is worth it, instead of hardship and having to go out and earn lots of money and put your kids through college and all that. Maybe you just want to go out and go fishing. And that's what I love to do.
You know, and that's it too. And we did. It was so special to have you, Owen, flew over to the United States, to Michigan, to accept that award in person. We didn't know what we were going to get. We ended up getting the Best in Category Award for the Wild Ireland edition of Wild Michigan, and it was incredible, man. It was like such a dream, not only for you, but to have that show be recognized. To have this show be recognized by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters was quite humbling, but to have you there to accept the award on behalf of Wild Michigan was amazing.
It felt like Grammy night or the Oscars for fishing in Clare.
Exactly. Now, let's talk. We've got a couple minutes left here. Let's talk about some of the techniques. I mean, we know that there's fly fishing that you guys do over there, but the dapping, the using of a live fly, of a live mayfly, that's completely new to a lot of people here.
Well, what we have on dry fly, or the mayfly, or dapping, is a long rod, probably about 12 foot long. Might be like a spinning rod, but or a beach caster, even that long, maybe. And what you do is just dancing two live flies who are hooked, who are just caught on a hook, and they're floating over the water on a piece of silk that's tied onto the line. And this silk, as we know, is very strong. So this is a silk that just floats over the water. And if you see a trout come up and take that fly, that's like an electric shock. You see this mouth coming out of the water and launching at your fly, which is dancing above it. They can see it from below. They see this thing dancing around, and they know they want it because they're hungry, you know?
Absolutely. And you know what? It is world-class wild brown trout fishing on Loch Derg. I cannot stress enough. And it's very inexpensive to go there. And we'll talk more about
it.
Yeah, and you don't need a license.
The
Irish don't like rules, so there's no license. So we're going to talk more with Owen O'Hagan. WildMichiganRadio.com is our website, being brought to you in part by our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. We're going to talk more about fishing Ireland for pike next on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
make a living from walking in the woods. You can bet I'd be sitting pretty good, high on a hill, looking at a field downwind.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you in part by Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there through the clearest lenses in the world with Costa Sunglasses. A link is on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and we took our Costas over to England. I'm so going to get beat up for that one. To Ireland. I don't know where that came from. I think maybe it was a Freudian slip of something just to see if I could get his attention. But no, we took our Costas is over there, and of course Matthew Solon, who's a guide and an avid fly angler and all over the world, uses the prescription brand. We took some over to Owen. Sarah Marie and I took ours over there, and they're such amazing lenses to look through and to be able to look at a place like Ireland where we were fishing. And you know, when you're casting for pike, you know, using a great big swim bait, and you've got a castle that is centuries old over your shoulder, I can't begin to explain through words exactly how that feels or what that looks like. But Owen, you've put together a video of, you know, Scariff, of Lough Derg, that, you know, the Holy Island and all of the other places around that area for people to see. And we posted it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/wildmichigan.
It's a beautiful video, isn't it?
It is. And you put not only, but you put a lot of hard work and time and editing and things like that. It cost you a few quid with your drone.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, because that was the second version of the drone, because the first one had nosedived into the ground. But that's part of learning how to fly.
Sure.
hopefully you don't hit someone on the head with it. But there was a lot of hard work in that. Over two years of flights and filming and hundreds of hours of footage. Edited down into 5 minutes, 25 seconds of beautiful scenery from the four seasons around Lough Derg. Because we have four seasons. We have winter, summer, spring and autumn. And the colours change so much during those four seasons. And the fishing changes as well.
And we flew in May, and it was everything and more that you could expect for the color, for the shades of green alone. Truly is the Emerald Isle, and we had the opportunity to fish with some fantastic gentlemen from Italy, with Nicola to be out there on the boat. And in the video, it was really funny. I don't think I realized what was going on as I was casting this great big swim bait at the boat that Owen was filming in. You see me cast, and all of a sudden, right in front of the camera, you see that big swim bait drop.
Yeah.
And I realized... I thought to myself, I said, wow, that was awful close. I probably shouldn't try that again.
It's a great shot. It looks great in the video as well. But then beside you, you had Richard McDermott, who's European pike fly champion, and Nikolai, who is from Black Bay Lodge on your left, boat casting flies, highly colorful flies for some of our fantastic pike in Lough Derg. They're huge.
And Richie was great because he hooked into a pike and then handed me the fly rod. So I got to feel what it's like to have a modest-sized pike fight on a fly rod. Yeah, it was. It was a beautiful fish. But believe me, there are some monsters in that lake that you can go fly fishing for with our friends at Black Bay Lodge.
Yeah, and they bring guys in. And they have what they do is they bring in maybe 3 or 4 people every week and get the full guided experience for the week. And they know where the monsters are, and they catch them regularly. And what they do is they put them back, which is really important, to give them a chance to be caught again, and for other anglers who they might bring in a few weeks later to try and take them again. And these pike, they're voracious, and they love being caught, but they really love being put back. So catch and release is really important for us.
Yeah, you know, and the memories when you have cameras on every phone, or you have, you know, like a GoPro or whatever you're using to take pictures, it's amazing. And the memories of a photo, to me, are worth more than that of a mount, because it explains the picture on your, you know, the look on your face and that moment, as where a mount is, it's nice. I mean, there's some great taxidermy work out there, but I think the pictures speak more words than a mount ever could.
I think it's more important to preserve the fishery now and let the fish have a fighting chance and let the habitat be as undisturbed as possible. And that's why Lough Derg is probably so good as a fishery, because the anglers on it preserve it and mind the fish and look after them and want people, other generations to enjoy it, which is important.
You know, speaking with Owen O'Hagan here, clairevirtually.ie is his website, and there's a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. There's the video that we'll post up on our Facebook page and our website that he just finally finished producing that gives you an idea of the beauty of the area. But to experience it for yourself is kind of a must. And you know, when you work with guys like Richard McDermott or Parra Giblin or Owen or Nicola and everybody, it's such a melting pot of people, because when we were there, we hung with the Germans, the Irish, the French, and the Italians. Fun. You know, God.
We had a lot of fun. And there was a lot of time spent in Jacko's Bar in Scarif, as you well know.
And you cannot miss the pub life, because you can walk to the pub, be in a pub, and the music breaks out. You know, that is just incredible. And again, it's a part of Ireland that these tour companies never show you. It is real rural Ireland at its finest. And I think, to me personally, that is the trip of a lifetime, rather than, you know, I mean, I'm sure Dublin, where you're hanging out right now, is fine, but I would rather see what most people don't see.
Yeah, exactly. It is pristine. It is beautiful. And that's what I do. I spend my time promoting Loch Derg and Clare especially as well. But I'll tell you now, where I am today is Ardmore Studios in Bray, County Wicklow. Did you see Michael Collins, the film?
I have seen Michael Collins.
And you've seen Braveheart?
Oh, absolutely. I live the movie.
And most of the Tudors you've seen lots of other TV dramas come out of here. I'm sitting in the studios in Bray in County Wicklow where these were all made. A beautiful historic place that's under threat as well, because they want to sell it to build houses on, as usual.
Oh boy! Well, you know, hopefully they'll see the light and keep the studios alive. A lot of great movies have come out of there, and a lot of great times and people have come from there. Owen O'Hagan is our guest and our dear friend, along with his wonderful wife Ruth and Grace and Richard and Brian and Michael, and everybody we met over there whose names, you know, I can't remember most people's names 2 minutes from meeting them, but I remember every name there, you know, with Eamon at the pub and Parig and everybody. It's just an incredible time, you know, and through Facebook and through the internet, we were able to keep in touch, and through phone calls like this.
Yeah. What we're going to do is put up the video of your trip to Clare again later on Facebook for people just to see how you got on the weekend. And we had some fun. We had some great fun. And do you remember Kevin with his stew?
Oh, absolutely. The Irish stew, eating with everybody, was fantastic. And I just had dinner with Nicola and with Marco. I just had this awesome, amazing pasta dish and beer, and then they fed me Irish stew. Of course I remember that. But Owen O'Hagan,
Lucky enough, you're the size I am, you can take it.
Right, exactly. ClaireVirtually.ie. Owen O'Hagan, join us. We're going to come back and talk more fishing with David A. Rose here on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast absolutely free. We don't charge you. We don't put commercials in the podcast. We don't add commercials like some places do. We like to keep our podcast as it appears on the radio station, and we appreciate our radio stations carrying Wild Michigan across the state. And if you would like to have Wild Michigan in your area, by all means, shoot me an email, outdoormailbag@gmail.com, and we will get you all hooked up. We will try and work something out with the station in your area that could carry Wild Michigan, so you don't miss it. But again, podcasts, don't miss it ever there either. So thanks to Owen O'Hagan over in County Clare, Ireland, actually working on the film set over in Dublin. as he does. He's an electrician, works on these big movies and commercials and stuff, but is an angler as well, and had the opportunity to fish with him and some friends, and a trip of a lifetime, which we'll be redoing, and would like you to do the same. Okay, it's an incredible experience, and we want you to find out more about it at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Now we're going to move over to Michigan side of things up near the Traverse City area. David A. Rose, our good friend, outdoor writer and fisherman extraordinaire. I just throw that out there because you are. And how you doing, man?
You know, I think I'm doing okay. It's one of the most spring-like winters we've had in a while. And, you know, I don't know if I'm happy about that or not because it really shortened our ice fishing season up, you know, early on, and then probably towards the tail end of it here too. But that only means, you know, a lot of other good things coming up too.
Well, of course, it is the free fishing weekend this weekend, which in the southern portion of Michigan, I would say, you know what, I'm not going out. This is just me. But for safety reasons, I will be missing this free fishing weekend because the ice, you know, has not been safe. And you know what? Throwing a piece of OSB or, you know, a few, you know, 2x10s or 1x10s to get out to the ice to, you know, traverse the open water that's near the shoreline. No, not going to do it. Just I would say in some of the northern regions, you're going to be better, but it's going to be a big warm-up this weekend, and I would exercise caution.
Yeah, I would definitely do the same. Even, you know, up here in the Traverse City area, we're obviously the northern lower Michigan, and a lot of our lakes that have been frozen a while are still pretty decent. You know, we've been, as you and I speak here, it hasn't been above freezing the last couple of days, and so the ice is still good. But, man, we're supposed to get up into the 50s, maybe even tickle the 60-degree mark over the next 5 days. Early on, some of that ice might still be good. But man, as the week wears on, yeah, use caution. You know, really, just think about it. You know, but there's some open water ideas that coming up here too.
Well, absolutely, and you know, the funny thing is, I was thinking about doing some river fishing maybe, and we really haven't had a lot of snow to cause a lot of melt off and bring those waters up. Some of the waters are already up because of a lot of the rain we've had, and I would use caution again because some of the banks may be kind of muddy and very slippery with these warm-ups.
Oh yeah, especially, you know, the along the western shoreline over here, what, western Michigan, I should say, eastern shoreline of Lake Michigan. There's a lot of clay, yeah, and you could get on the edge of a riverbank and realize that, you're going to go for a ride.
Yeah.
You practice your skiing beforehand, so it's just anything we do outdoors, we need to, you know, take caution.
Well, next month, I'm looking forward to getting out to the Ultimate Sports Show over in Grand Rapids, the longest-running outdoor show in the state. And this is when I'm going to start thinking about steelheading because March, I mean, we may even see a few trickle in a little early, but, I mean, really not going to know anything until March really gets here. But I want to get prepared, David, for doing some steelheading. And, you know, this is the time that I'm going to get my gear out and start looking it over.
Yeah, this is the time you get that steelhead rod out of the corner. And for some, you know, there's all sorts of different kinds of steelhead rods. It might be 8.5 foot spinning rod up to 15 foot. Who knows? It could be a center pin. Could it be a spinning rod? Could be a big old bait casting rod. But we're going to get those things out of the corners. And we're going to dust them off. And actually, you know, that's not a bad idea to clean those rods off, too. You know, a lot of guys that use spawn and stuff like that, boy, they get that sticky spawn goo all over their hands. Next thing you know, they're touching the rod and the cork and this and that stuff sticking to the rod. And, you know, rods can actually break if you don't clean those things enough. Not that it's eating away the blank, but that stuff dries up pretty hard, and you're actually creating stiff spots in the rod. So if your rod's that bad, man, you might have to soak it in the bathtub a little bit and then wipe it off with a soft cloth or something like that. But, yeah, it's a good idea to even take, you know, like the furniture polish, like you would that lemony smelling stuff you'd spray and dust your house with. Spray some of that on a rag and wipe down the blank, and especially the guides. And what that's going to do is, you know, we're going to have some cold days in March and whatnot when you're steelhead fishing, and as you cast your line, it's going to help that line go through the guides, and it's going to keep ice from building up in those guides.
David A. Rose is our guest here on Wild Michigan. David, I want to talk a little bit about changing line. I know it's a good idea to change line, but how long, you know, can we have line on a spool? Granted, it's not been cast and retrieved, but how long will line last on a spool? Because I, like a lot of people, have a lot of leftover line, and I'm like, well, I wonder if I can still use this.
Well, there's a couple reasons why you should change your line more often than you think. Number one, we don't always know the conditions that it was stored in. So if it's been hot or in the direct sunlight or something like that, you know, it's monofilaments what we usually cast for steelhead in the rivers, and it breaks down. It's a plastic. It's a polymer, and that sun and that heat, you know, if you got it in the corner of your garage and your garage gets hot in the summertime, it's already starting to deteriorate. Also, you know, spools are pretty narrow in diameter. And, of course, when you buy a line, it's on a larger spool that has a much larger diameter. But what happens is that line can get all kinked up. It can get a memory to it. And so I say put fresh monofilament line on. It's really not as expensive as you think. And, man, I mean, it's the only tether between you and a fish. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have a. I've been guiding before and had guys, I want to bring my own rod. Okay, that's cool. And they got a, you know, $200 rod and a $200 reel, just a beautiful setup. And then they have line that's been on there since for the last 4 years, and their line is shot. You know,
yeah.
Oh well, that's expensive. It's like, well, you just spent $400 on a good combo. So I'm going to say line. If you're going to go steelhead fishing in March, just plan on going to your local mom and pop tackle store, get some line, and get it freshly spooled on.
Now, let me talk about, speaking with David A. Rose here on Wild Michigan, our website is wildmichiganradio.com. A couple minutes left in the segment, David. We've established that we're using mono, but what if we want to use a leader, which a lot of times we do, something a little bit thinner, something a little bit less visible to the fish?
A little less visible. You know, well, right now everybody talks about fluorocarbon. Now, fluorocarbon is not monofilament. It looks kind of like monofilament. So you can use a fluorocarbon leader, which is very clear. But when you really look at it, it's not as invisible as you may think. Sometimes that sunlight will actually make it, I won't say glow, but you'll see a glimmer from it. But one thing about fluorocarbon is you can get away with thinner diameter and still have more tensile strength, meaning, you know, let's say 4-pound test liter of monofilament and you have 4-pound test liter of fluorocarbon. The fluorocarbon tends to win out because, and it's not, I mean, they're both 4-pound test,
mm-hmm.
but there's just something, there's a little less stretch to it and it lasts a little bit longer. It has a little more strength to it.
All right, David A. Rose is our guest here. We're going to speak more with David. Find out a little bit more about steelheading as we get closer to March. We're halfway through February already, and this is when all the big stuff is going to happen. And spring turkey season is coming up. And just the other day, as I was driving down my road, I saw about 10 toms and 3 of them in full strut, which gets me pretty excited for the spring season. I know they do it year-round, but it was just kind of nice to see. So we'll speak with David more here in a couple minutes, talk a little bit about fishing. Don't forget, got a big event coming up March 10th at Eagle Eye. The Pheasants Forever Chapter 467 is going to be having their annual fundraiser and banquet. This is the big one, man. We'll be there. Go see us at wildmichiganradio.com for more details or visit them at pf467.org.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you by our friends at Darton Archery, located in Hale, Michigan. Full lineup of new stuff this year, man. The Maverick, the Toxin 100, some great crossbows, some great vertical bows, all made in Michigan. DartonArchery.com, a link on our website at WildMichiganRadio.com. And we talked to Ted here a couple of weeks ago. Looking forward to the new stuff. And I will be out at the Lansing Center this weekend for the Field and Stream Outdoor Life Deer and Turkey Expo. That's coming up. I'm also going to try and get to Outdoorama, which is coming up, I believe, next week. But I definitely will be at the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids coming up in March. Now, speaking with David A. Rose here on Wild Michigan, we talked a little bit about preparing ourselves for steelheading. Now, there's a lot of times that somebody, you know, look, I was one of these guys that I always wanted to go steelheading, didn't know anything about it, and I got hooked up with some friends. My good friend Norman Smith, who is a world-class ice angler, got me in touch with his friend, and now my friend, Chad Schaub. Now, Chad Schaub is a world-class ice angler in his own right, being on the USA ice team and traveling the world every year for ice fishing, but he is also a great guide, fishing the Muskegon River, putting us on the biggest steelhead I've ever caught in my life at 12.5 pounds, which is a very respectable steelhead and one hell of a fight in fast water, might I add. But maybe you want to try this yourself. Maybe you want to do some steelheading for the first time and like me, no pun intended, really get hooked on this. But you don't know where to start. And David A. Rose is our guest. He's an outdoor writer and a fishing guide. And when we were talking about this yesterday, about setting up the interview for today, he says, you know what? Let's talk about finding a guide, because you can go to the shows like Outdoorama and the Ultimate Fishing Show and see a lot of guides. And maybe you're just, you know, afraid to talk to them. You don't know. But steelhead guiding is something I think is going to be very unique to look for. And David, how are we looking for that guide?
Well, what you're going to do is you're going to kind of figure out what type of fishing you want to do. So do you want to go river fishing? Okay, you search out for the guides that fish steelhead in the rivers. Then you say, what if I want to keep a fish? Well, does your guide support catch and release, or will they let you keep a fish or two? What's your technique that you want to use? Find out, guide, do they specialize in maybe pulling plugs in the river, or do they do bait, or are they fly guides? And so it depends on the kind of fishing you want to do and where you want to do it. And now, most of the guides I know are pretty darn good, and make sure you just, you know, they're licensed and insured, you know, that they have all the, there's not just some guy named Ed that says, I'm a guide, and usually, you know, when you're at the fishing show, those guys and gals are, I mean, they're there. They're spending a lot of money to be there and promote their business. They're all top-notch, you know, guides by any means. But yeah, in Michigan, to be a guide, you have to be licensed with the state of Michigan to, you know, haul people in your boat and make sure they have good insurance.
Yeah, that's pretty important when you're on fast water like that, and you want to make sure not only they have decent equipment, but that they do have insurance. And look, and don't be afraid to, if they have websites, to look for recommendations that people are, or you know, comments that people have left. Internet is full of that stuff. Believe
me. The internet's full of a lot of stuff, I'll tell you.
Thank goodness that we didn't have it when I was younger, but you know, a lot of older guys like myself say. But you know, it's something that I don't want anybody to miss if they ever want to experience it, because the first time I did it was with my good friend Michael Tillman from Tillman Outfitters, which we were on the Little Manistee, which is a great fishery. It was a great time, and I caught my very first steelhead, and I learned. That's the other thing, too. See if, you know, you'll have somebody that will take you out and teach you as well, much like Lance Valentine from Walleye 101 does. Because this is an experience that you will want to take with you forever.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Bring your cameras, bring your cell phones with good cameras or video on them and stuff like that. Because, again, you're going to be making some memories on these things. These fish are amazing. And really, the earlier in the season you go, I think the more fun you're going to have because of the fish. What I mean by that is they're pretty fresh coming in the river the end of February through early March. And, of course, by the time end of March through April rolls around, those fish are, I mean, they're coming up the river to spawn. Steelhead in the rainbow trout family, they spawn in the springtime. So once they get spawning, well, that's on their mind, you know. So, and, of course, sometimes we want to leave some of those fish alone to spawn. But in the meantime, early on, those fish are, they're They're big, they're hot, they're fresh, and they're ready to do battle. It's quite an experience.
Oh, my gosh, you have no idea what it's like to have a 12.5-pound, you know, steelhead going up and down. If you've never done it, I mean, look, there's bigger, there's smaller, and they all fight great. But for me personally, there's nothing like it.
Oh, yeah, it's
and
amazing.
just to get out there, it's just amazing. You don't have to keep the fish. You can always release it and have fun.
Yep. No, exactly. And, you know, just being on a river. I mean, trout live in beautiful places.
Yeah.
Anatomy of a trout bomb, I do believe, is, you know, I mean, this talks about that. I mean, trout, whether it's a small brookie or brown up in the upper reaches or where the steelhead are coming up and maybe, you know, are stopped by the migration of a dam or something, but still those lower rivers are absolutely gorgeous.
Well, and I encourage you also, go talk to my friend Ed Shaw at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center in Cadillac. It's not hard to find. You can, you know, call me directly. My cell number's on the website or shoot me an email. They've got a steelheading class coming up in March also that not only has classroom time, but gives you river time and hands-on experience. And trust me, I am, as I was thinking about this today, about how to best describe this show, David, I'm not the been there, done that radio host. I'm the I need to know more guy that has just a blast doing this. And Ed Shaw and his group, Steve Barry, and everybody over at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center in Cadillac, those guys, their pro staff, hands-on, the best in the state by far.
By far. In fact, they were just on our local news this morning doing live reports while they were fishing from Lake Cadillac and Mitchell. And man, they caught walleye, they caught pike on TV. I mean, the real deal, wasn't that? There was no editing. So, I mean, those guys know their stuff. And like you said, that steelhead class, they do a really nice job. They've had it for quite a few years there. You sign up for it, and they'll even get you on the water and fishing besides the in-classroom stuff.
And, you know, even having been bear hunting a couple of times in Canada myself, my wife and I and good friend Russ Bartel, we all still took the bear hunting class. And Russ took and applied his skills that he learned in the class, and he's been successful 2 years in a row for bear.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's something to be said about what these guys are teaching.
Yep. And what a great venue they have there. I mean, if your listeners haven't been there, it is a big old building with a museum and all sorts of memorabilia and all that kind of stuff, and it's all dedicated to hunting and fishing.
Yeah, I mean, even the ice fishing, they provide you with Vexilars and gear to use, you know, and there's no charge to use the equipment. If you want to borrow a fishing rod and you're up at Lake Mitchell fishing, sign it out. You know, leave your info. They're happy to help you out. And that's such an amazing thing. And you know what? If the DNR, and I'm saying this publicly, if the DNR ever needs help raising funds to keep that open, they better call me first.
Yep, exactly. Oh, real quick about that, too. It was just accepted. Now, I'm a member of the Michigan Outdoor Writers Association, and we've been kind of pushing, and it's not just for members, but at the Carl T. Johnson Center, there is going to now be the Michigan Hall of Fame. So it's hunters and anglers and conservationists who have helped hunting and fishing.
Wow.
It's going to be a new Michigan Hall of Fame, and it's going to be centered right there at the Carl T. Johnson Center.
That would be amazing.
Yep.
That would be amazing because there's so many people that have been so instrumental and not only, you know, just in Michigan in general, but have taught. David, you have taught here on this show. Lance has taught here on the show. I could go on and on and on with the people that have taught on this show and we've all learned from. And believe me, I am excited to hear about that. So
yeah.
David A. Rose, look for him, wildfishing.com. And dude, as always, we appreciate you joining us here on the show. We've always learned with you on, and look for his articles and look for him out and about at Outdoor Ram. And of course, the Ultimate Sports Show coming up in Grand Rapids. Thank you so much for your time, brother. I appreciate it.
I appreciate being here. Thank you.
All right, man. We will be out and about. Look for us at the Pheasants Forever Chapter 467 Banquet. Also, we're going to be at the Detroit Steelheaders Banquet. I'll be emceeing that show in Troy on the 11th of March and March 4th, Commemorative Bucks of Michigan. We hope to see you there as well. Follow us on Facebook, also on Twitter, and by all means, pick up the podcast, wildmichiganradio.com. We give those to you free, and we'd love your input as well. Appreciate you joining us. This is Wild Michigan. More to come in a whole another hour on the Michigan Talk Network.